The epistle for the fourth Sunday after Easter is taken from St. James, chapter 1. Dearly beloved, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change nor shadow of alteration. Of his own will he has begotten us by the word of truth, that we might be, as it were, the first fruits of his creatures. You know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the justice of God. Therefore, casting aside all uncleanness and abundance of malice, with meekness receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Thus far, and then please stand for the gospel, which is taken from that according to St. John, chapter 16. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Now I am going to him who sent me, and no one of you asks me, 'Where art thou going?' But because I have spoken to you of these things, sadness has filled your heart. But I speak the truth to you. It is expedient for you that I depart. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of justice and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of justice, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world has already been judged. Many things yet I have to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will teach you all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he will hear, he will speak. And the things that are to come, he will declare to you. He will glorify me, because he will receive of what is mine and declare it to you." And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So the Gospel this Sunday is a continuation of the Gospel of last Sunday. A little while and you shall see me, and again a little while you shall not see me. We're in the second half of the season after Easter, and this time is the preparation for the mystery of the Ascension, and the mystery that the Ascension is for, which is Pentecost. We are now looking forward to Ascension and Pentecost. In the first 2 weeks of Easter, we looked backwards to the beauty of the resurrection and simply rejoiced in the mystery of the resurrection. This great proof of our faith, the greatest miracle that had ever been done. And so we rejoice in the mystery of the resurrection, the proof of the legitimacy of our faith, and that our faith does save. Now we look forward. We look forward to the Ascension and to Pentecost. And the church has chosen this beautiful passage from last Sunday and this Sunday. Essentially, these last two Sundays are the same gospel, at least in their beginning of this Sunday. It's a continuation of last Sunday. "A little while and you shall see me, and again a little while you shall not see me, because I go to the Father." So a contemplation today on these words taken from St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine, and Bishop Herrera. "A little while and you shall see me. You rejoice when you're in my presence. This is joy. Now that I have told you I am gone," we've finished the gospel of last week, in which sadness was mentioned. But in the beginning of the gospel this week, we remember the words of last week. And our Lord says, "Because I have told you these words, you are filled with sadness." Sadness and joy are two opposite passions. We human creatures have 11 passions. Joy and sadness are two that are opposed to one another. Neither of them is a bad passion because they're part of our nature. But sadness comes, says St. Thomas Aquinas, or rather, firstly, joy comes from the presence of the one that we love. That's the first cause of joy. When we're in the presence of the one we love, we rejoice. We are at peace. Another cause of joy is when we see that good things are done to the one that we love. So even though we're not in his presence, we see or we hear that good things have been done for him or to him or on his behalf. This causes joy. And then the opposite of that is sadness. And sadness is a result in the soul that comes from being separated from the one that we love, at least partially separated, or from seeing that bad things have come to the one that we love. The apostles love our Lord Jesus Christ. They want to be in his presence. And when he says, I am going to leave you, he says these words on Holy Thursday night, I'm going to leave you, and it is expedient for you that I go. When he says these words, the apostles are crushed. Great sadness fills their heart that they're going to be separated from the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what is this sadness? That was the sadness of the apostles. But what of our sadness? Sadness comes to us when we come into contact with trials and tribulations in this life, both small and great. We come into contact with these trials, it produces in us a movement of the soul, a sadness. And this sadness as a movement of the soul is not a sin, but when we relish the sadness, when we are overtaken by the sadness, when we rest in the sadness, then we commit sin. And so sadness and an experience of sadness is not a sin, but to relish it or to be overcome by it, to be overtaken by it, is sinful. And it has a solution. And the solution is brought up by our Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel today. He says, it is necessary for you that I go, because if I do not go, the Holy Ghost cannot come. The Holy Ghost is going to come to relieve the sadness that is inside of us. He is the source of all consolation, we say of him. He is going to come in order to remove sadness. He is the consoler. And so, two things, says St. Thomas Aquinas, that help us remove sadness. When we are sad, we feel alone. And so he says, the first thing that removes sadness is the presence of a friend. Sacred Scripture says, in the book of Proverbs, that no greater blessing can come to a man than a friend, true and noble unto the end. A real friend. A friend is the first cause of the removal of sadness, says St. Thomas Aquinas. When we are sad and sorrowful, somehow by being able to communicate this sorrow to someone who is our friend, somehow it unburdens this sorrow. It removes it from us. We feel it go out of us. And when the friend has compassion and experiences the sorrow with us, we feel the sorrow depart. That's the first cause, or the first thing that removes sadness, is the presence of a friend, says St. Thomas. The second, says St. Thomas, and this is the more important one, is the contemplation of the truth. When we think about the truth, says St. Thomas, sadness departs. It is this that removes sadness from the life. We must contemplate the truth. We human beings are rational creatures. We are given a mind. This mind was made to look upon the truth, and the truth is Jesus Christ. He is the one that we love. We contemplate the truth, sadness departs. We contemplate God, sadness departs. This contemplation of the truth is especially found in prayer. When we find ourselves sorrowful and sad, says St. Thomas, one, we communicate with a friend. Two, we contemplate truth, which means we pray. We must pray. In fact, our Holy Mother the Church tells us that we are obliged to pray at all times, but at some times we have more of an obligation to pray than at others. For instance, at the danger of death. When we are in the danger of death, we are obliged seriously to pray. Or when we are in any great tribulation, we are obliged seriously to pray. Because in this prayer, we will find the source of all consolation. And so if we're having difficulties in our life, it is at these times that prayer is more necessary. And so in the time of tribulation, we must pray. Who is the one that relieves the sorrow from us? It is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one that takes away our sorrow because He is love. Love is that which removes the sorrow. And there are three persons in God, the Father, the Word, and the Love. And the Love is the third person of the Blessed Trinity. And His duty, when He comes into contact with the world, is to give grace and peace and happiness to this world by means of infusing the life into the church that the Son has created. He is the soul of the church, the Holy Ghost. He is the one that gives us grace in every one of the sacraments. He is the one that comes to us to give us the grace to be able to do good and to avoid evil. He is the one that enlightens us to come to an understanding of the truth and to avoid error. It is the Holy Ghost that is the source of every kind of consolation that comes to us in this life. And so He consoles us because He is charity. He is God Himself. St. John says of God, God is charity. Charity is God. God is love. Love is God. And the love that is God is the Holy Ghost, the holy breath of the Father and the Son. We are in the time of love. The time of love is the time between Pentecost Sunday and the ending of the world. It is a most beautiful period in the whole history of the world. It seems as though it is a difficult period. We now have a church that is in crises. We have people that are leaving the faith. We have the enemies of the world, the flesh and the devil, attacking us on all sides. But there is love. God the Holy Ghost. And He is infinitely more powerful than all of these foolish things. And St. Thomas says, we have only to look at the beauty and the power of the Holy Ghost, and all sadness leaves our lives. God is infinitely more powerful than sin. He is infinitely more powerful than everything evil that happens in the world. He can wipe it out, and He will wipe it out. But it requires a great virtue, two great virtues: faith and humility. And this humility is the strength, the foundation of the virtue that flows from it, which is hope, confidence in God. St. Thomas says that when we have this sadness and it goes on too much, it's because we lack faith. We don't really believe that God is going to provide. So I'm very sad because I have $60,000 in debt. I make $300 a year. The phone man has cut me off, and I'm still getting phone calls, but it's just from the creditors. I'm losing my house, and all things are difficult. And everyone is out to get me, and no one likes me, and it is a very difficult time. I can't do anything about it. I feel as though I'm in a state of despair. I have certain sins, and it doesn't seem as though I can overcome them. So why bother? Why try? So I enter into a state of sadness and a state of despair. This state presupposes a lack of faith. The devil likes to put us into this state, says St. Thomas, because there are several things that sadness causes. Sadness is a very happy state for the devil, because it produces despair, and most importantly, it produces a loss of energy in the soul. When you're sad, you ask the little child when he's depressed, do you want to get up? No. Do you want to play? No. Do you want your favorite ice cream? No. No matter what you ask him, the answer is no. They enter into a state of a complete loss of energy, and this is a very happy state for the devil, because we human beings happen to be made in order to practice virtue in this life. Sadness prevents us, or attempts to prevent us, from practicing virtue. I'm depressed. I can't do anything. I can't overcome my sins. They're just going to happen, so we're just going to have to live with it. I can't overcome difficulties connected with impurity, difficulties connected with alcoholism. I can't difficulties connected with that alarm clock in the morning. It goes off and it rings for 35 minutes and I just can't get up. I'm depressed because I just can't do it. When in fact, you're lying to yourself. Who is the father of lies? Sadness is the state that produces lies inside of ourselves. And these are the worst kind of lies. When we lie to ourselves. I cannot get out of bed. I cannot get out of this sin. I cannot overcome this difficulty. God will not provide for me. Faith overcomes this problem. And a great confidence in the Holy Ghost, the Paraclete, who's going to come down and solve the difficulties of our lives. And this faith will make it possible for us to see a few things, says St. Thomas. One of them is the root of all happiness. It just so happens that when Adam and Eve sinned, the world was in a state of true despair. Every single human being must go to hell. But then God came to Adam and he gave to him and to all of us hope. He said, there is going to come a Redeemer. The Redeemer is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to give to the world hope and happiness. How did he do it? By dying on the cross. It just so happens that for us human beings, when we look to our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, we see the source of all happiness. We see where it all began. We see where all hope is. Because he shed every drop of his blood for me and for his church, I can receive graces to save my soul. I can have a peaceful and happy place in which I can live, which is the Holy Catholic Church. So that I can be happy in this life as well as the next. As our Lord Jesus Christ promised in the Sermon on the Mount, he who seeks first the kingdom of God and his justice will have all these necessary things added unto him besides, and then a hundredfold in happiness here below. Peace. No matter what difficulties come our way. Where does this peace come from? Christ and the cross. And our Lord said, I must leave so the Holy Ghost can come and take my cross. It is he who takes the cross and gives it to us. Remember, the Father never operates without the Son, and the Father and the Son never operate without the Holy Ghost. The Son is not crucified unless the Father sends him. The crucifixion is of no benefit to us unless the Holy Ghost brings that benefit to us. He is the one that carries all of those beautiful things that our Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. He is the one that carries those realities to us, and it comes out in happiness, in peace, in the contemplation of truth, in all of the articles of our faith, in the simple duties of our daily life, in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The Holy Ghost is the one that makes it possible for us to profit from all of these things. It is Jesus Christ who is in the tabernacle. It is the Holy Ghost who carries him to the pews and who carries him inside of the hearts. And so it is necessary to look forward to the Holy Ghost. This is the main focus of today's sacred liturgy. We long for the coming of the second greatest feast day of the year, which is the day of the coming of Pentecost. We long for the coming of the Holy Ghost. And we want to understand a truth that comes with this contemplation of the Holy Ghost. In the Gospel today, our Lord says, I told you that I'm leaving, but none of you say in the Latin, quo vadis. None of you interrogat me, quo vadis. None of you say, where are you going? You're afraid. If you find out where I'm going, you'll know that there's no hope of coming back, and so you are afraid of asking, where are you going? 31 years later, St. Peter would finally ask the question. At that time, he was in Rome, and there was a rumor that this time the Romans were out to get him, and that he was going to be killed. And in order to save the church, the Pope must leave Rome. He'd already been the Pope in Jerusalem for 12 years, in Antioch for a few years, And then the last 12 years, he had been the ruler of the church in Rome. And at the end of these 12 years of reigning in Rome, it turned out that the Romans were going to get him. The word leaked to him, and so Peter began to leave the city of Rome. He walked out of the city. And as he exited the gates of the city, he saw our Lord Jesus Christ walking. 31 years after the crucifixion. He saw him walking into the city. And Peter looked up about 30 feet from our Lord, and he looked up and he saw the Lord, and he saw the Lord walking into the city of Rome. While he himself, Peter, was walking outside that city, he stopped. He looked at the Lord and he said, "Domine, quo vadis?" Took him 31 years to ask the question. "Domine, quo vadis?" Lord, where are you going? And our Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter, "I am going back into Jerusalem to be crucified again." And from these words, Peter understood that he was not to escape the crucifixion. He turned and he walked back into the city. He was captured, and in a few days' time, he was crucified upside down. When he was being carried to crucifixion, he was going to be crucified as our Lord. He said, "I am not worthy to die as my master. Crucify me upside down." And so they did. Quo vadis, to the cross. And the saints tell us that when we have grown in the spiritual life, we begin to understand that joy and happiness is found in the cross. An athlete is happy not when he crosses the finish line because he's racing against the first grade class and he happened to win. He is happy when he is racing against the best athletes in the world and he is totally exhausted and he barely crosses the finish line in front of everyone else. There is great happiness in that athlete because he has exhausted his entire energy to get to the finish line. There is a peace in him. The peace is found in the cross. We need to realize that in fact, if we look at our crosses, we will see that they are great joys. And so many of the saints actually received the height of sanctity where they requested the cross. "Lord, please send me difficulties." We are not there yet. But we want to come to a little understanding of the beauty of the cross. One little trick, when you come into contact with the cross and a difficulty comes your way, there's a little policy that we should have. "Lord, thank you for this gift." You're walking down the street, you're walking around the construction site, and you step on a nail. Your first reaction is, "Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this gift. Now you can have the nail back." But the first reaction when we come into contact with the cross must be, "Thank you, Lord." We will begin to see that this cross is the beginning of eternal happiness. When we receive the cross and we embrace it, there is an infinite amount of reward that is given to us for each one of them, whether it be a headache, or whether it be someone yelling at us, or whether it be being pushed too much, or whether it be being left alone, or whatever it may be. When we embrace these crosses, we receive peace on the inside. We will find that nothing can cause us disturbance. As our Lord says in the same passage a few verses before, "I am going to give you a joy that no man can take from you. Not even the cross can take away this joy. In fact, the cross will be the source of a greater joy." There are so many good things about the cross. You can offer up crosses in reparation for your sins. That removes purgatory time. And if we only knew the suffering of purgatory, we would be seeking crosses all the time. We get breaks from purgatory. And also, not only does it give us our purgatory time off, but at the exact same time, it gives us a higher place in heaven. We benefit on both sides. And not only does it give us a higher place in heaven and purgatory time off, but at the time of the cross, it gives us happiness. You have two options in a traffic jam. Curse and swear and crack your windshield, or just take it easy. Offer it up. You're happier in the traffic jam. You're happier in eternity. When you're angry in the traffic jam, you're angrier in the traffic jam, and you're angrier in eternity. You lose on both sides. So let's learn to slowly embrace our small crosses and follow the example of Peter at the end of his days. And I'll close it at that. And God bless you all in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.